Hey, welcome to our podcast. This is Bad Playstyle. Bad Playstyle is a book club podcast where we all sit down and play the same game. And hopefully you have played the same game at home so that you can be intellectually engaged with our conversation.
Not psychically savaged by the infinite spoiler.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to spoil every game that we set out to play. And any games that come up, I don't know, we'll probably fucking spoil them too, so check the show notes before you listen to an episode if you don't want to get blindsided by us mentioning off the cuff that, I don't know, Paul Ryan is Atlas.
Okay, welcome.
Hey, we're all good from this distance.
We're all good.
We're in about the same spots we normally are in.
Yeah. So this is a Bad Playstyle. I'm Matt.
I'm Keenan.
I'm Owen.
All right, what did we play, guys?
We played Mr. Shifty.
Played Mr. Shitty.
Well, do we wait? Are we doing the out of order again?
Well, I'm just.
Are we talking about what we played? But like what I played, or
we played. We played Mr. Shifty. What is Mr. Shifty?
We're jumping the gun on what I
stop,
played.
Stop talking okay. about things that I'm not prompting you to talk about.
Okay, Mr. Shifty is a top-down, like floor plan view type game, kind of like Hotline Miami. And there are two things you do in Mr. Shifty besides move: you teleport and you punch.
That's not true. You can pick things up and throw them.
That's fair.
You can push a button.
That's one of the best parts of the game. Is throwing lightning bolts and tridents through multiple people.
There's even a dialogue point where the villain says, "I wish I had someone or had a need for someone who can teleport and punch things, because I'm not sure what else you do." So,
yeah,
that's most of what you do. And then the whole game is built around utilizing your teleport and punching abilities to surmount obstacles.
So this is the time in the podcast where I give the audience of two people a burp, and an infinite spoiler.
Infinite
spoilers.
There are so many spoilers.
Infinite spoilers. Primordial spoilers.
The hypothetical ancestral spoiler.
The ancestral spoiler on the back of the first Civic CRX.
Yeah. From 1982. It's had three engines.
Shut up.
A lot of jokes.
We should get James in here if we talk about CRXs.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to talk about cars on my video game podcast. I don't want to do that.
We're going to play a car game next.
Yeah. I hate you.
We're going to play Forza.
Anyway, it's a very hostile atmosphere here at the Bad Playstyle studio today.
Studio.
Owen lives in it.
Yeah. I live the podcast life
forever.
So Owen, speaking of podcast life,
what's up?
What'd you play this week?
I don't know. I played some MOBA a bunch, but whatever.
God, stop talking about the MOBA.
I'm gonna talk about it. I played a MOBA. I don't have anything interesting to say about
it. Our two listeners probably know which one.
Yeah. I booted up Pillars of Eternity for, the first time in, a year.
I saw you doing that.
Yeah, because I need to finish that game. I got to big.
I remember the last time you said that was when the expansion came out.
Yeah. So, I actually booted it up now, and I'm stuck in a really hard combat. But I got to the point in the main story in that game, a year ago, where the game says to you quite explicitly, this is the point of no return on the main plot. You will not be able to finish your side quests if you continue. If you want to go finish your side quests, go do them now.
You said to yourself.
Well, and so then I said, I want to make sure I want to get the mega dungeon. There was a stretch goal when that game was being kickstarted to put a big mega dungeon in it. And I was super thrilled when I got in and I never finished it. So I went back. Turns out the mega dungeon's really hard when you get near the bottom. So that's kind of where I fell off the game and I'm trying to get back on it, but those combats are real hard in the Mega Dungeon. I'm on level 11 out of
15. Give us a little detail, how are they hard?
So right now the floor I'm on has only two forking paths, and one of them has a bunch of, I forget what the game calls them, but they're Myosinids. They're big mushroom men. And the little ones, they run at you, and you just fight them. And there's some slimes, and they're kind of a pain in the ass, and you just fight them, and they're tough. And in the back, there's these, four humongous mushroom dudes that are just constantly casting Dominate on on a party member.
That sucks.
And the Domini,
so you have four party members down for this fight? Is that what you're telling me?
No, they don't seem to be good enough to do it all at once.
Okay.
It's just that, like, at any given time, a random member of my party is being mind-controlled for 10 seconds. Mm. And there's no diminishing returns on mind-controlling my party members. Mm. So, yeah, it's pretty rough.
It sounds like playing XCOM. Right, where people just start shooting each other? Like, it sounds like that.
Yeah, kinda. yeah, so that's difficult. Been playing Pillars.
You played Mankind Divided?
Yeah, oh. That's right. Deus Ex, the sequel to Human Revolution, was on sale for...
Oh, did you buy it when it was on crazy sale?
Yeah, it was a ridiculous
sale. It's like $15, I think.
Yeah.
When did that game come out?
Last year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Came out a year ago.
Almost exactly a year ago, I think.
Yeah.
Because it was in the weird release lull.
Yeah. So, I bought it, and a friend of mine bought it, too, and so we've been playing it and talking about it.
How is it?
It is, at least so far, it is exactly like the last game.
Is it worth $15?
Yes.
To you? Okay.
If you liked the last game,
then. If that sale's still on, I might grab it.
Yeah, unless you're someone who's, like, really bothered by, like, a sequel just being a very... straight refinement of the last game. Like, it doesn't seem to do anything.
Well, it seems like it's less of a sequel and more of just a new subtitle, right? Like, it's Deus Ex 3 with a new subtitle, right?
Well, it's Deus Ex 4.
Right, yeah.
It's more Adam Jensen.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's, like, they did a new thing with Augs. There's little stuff.
Sure.
There's a crafting system in it now. That law got passed... where all games coming out going forward have to have crafting systems in them. So it has a crafting system.
We call it the Minecraft.
So it's really unfortunate because crafting is one of the four horsemen of the gaming apocalypse. So
what's his name? Marcus's Law.
Yeah.
Marcus Peterson.
Sure. I don't know his real name.
Marcus's Law. Making it sound like it's based on like a trauma. That's good.
Marcus's Law.
So I've been playing that and it's cool. It's you're this Keanu Reeves looking.
Did you ask for this?
That's one of the dialogue or one of the options when you start a game.
Boy, you just went there.
When it asks you what difficulty you want, the highest one is just called "I didn't ask for this."
Okay, it's great.
You can't even do it from the beginning. They take that kind of route with it.
At least they know that they're.
I finished the main quote unquote story to everything. That was cool.
Were you everything?
It, but I'm shaking my head.
Yeah, he had a frustrated expression for a second.
That game's really cool.
It is. But how do you finish everything? What does that mean?
How do you finish everything?
I actually don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
Speaking of spoilers, did you ever get your Moira email?
I did.
And?
Wait, did I?
Oh, wait, should we talk about Moira? Because, like,
we made a point about talking about it and saying,
hey, we're going to talk about it next week.
We should talk about it.
Yeah.
Let me see if I've got my Moira email.
Well, see if you got your Moira email.
So what have you been playing, Matt, while Kenan looks at his emails?
Oh, jeez. What did I play? What's it called? Lovers in Dangerous Space Time.
Oh, I've been playing that, too. Yeah.
With my roommates. I first saw that game in passing, while I was escorting children around the EMP, and I was like, don't want to play that game, but I never knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the teachers at my work, I was like, hey, I saw this game once at the EMP. He's like, oh, I'm actually in that exhibit, and it's this game. So I've been playing it. It's great. I love the power gems. Very, you know, Kirby 64.
Mm-hmm. That was the shit.
The
analog I drew, too.
I'm really excited to try some of the ships later. I especially want to make, Keenan, I want to make your girlfriend vomit by piloting the ship that turns
You
turn the engine.
That thing looks cool, but I don't want to play it.
I want to play it so bad.
That sounds like it would be hard for the guys on weapon stations, because you're constantly reorienting.
Yeah.
Well,
The thought I had is, like, if you play that ship, you just have people stay in their weapon stations.
Yeah.
And, like, shoot up opportunistically as the ship drives.
Yeah. We had a pretty good thing going, because we had one person driving and one person shooting.
Yeah, Keenan was involved.
I'm one of his roommates. It's weird.
Yeah.
He was talking about the other ones, the dog and your girlfriend. Yeah.
Tucker really was laying down on the job, though.
Well, he was trying to get up. There's too many feet in the living room.
Yeah, but, like, he wasn't even manning a station. He was just...
Yeah.
Damn lazy dog. Get a job.
Bastard.
Okay, I got my Moira email.
Yeah, talk about it.
So, do you want me to just, like, read the email?
Yeah, read the email.
Read the email.
And then, okay. And then we'll explain how this game works, because we made a point of not talking about it.
So, as you left the cave, you were confronted by a farmer called, all lowercase, Ryan. They asked you three questions. The first question that was asked was, why do you have blood all over your overalls? To which you responded, sometimes you butcher animals in a cave. The second question was asked was, why do you have a knife? To which you responded, cave, period, animals, period, butchering, period. The third question that was asked was, I heard moans, what have you done? To which you responded, I was alone, don't judge. After hearing your answers, Ryan decided to let you pass. This was quite a foolish act, considering that you were covered in blood from the killing of previous farmer. This is camel case every other word, retard slayer. And that draws an end to your involvement in this story. Thank you for playing.
A justified
yes. So I
did, the name Retard Slayer. Bear in mind, this is case sensitive.
Didn't Retard Slayer tell you that he was using the blood on him as lubricant?
Yes. He was very caustic.
Hold on. What's this game? So how does this game start?
No, I wanted to get ahead of myself on that one.
Where's the beginning of this story?
So you start out in a small farming town.
Yeah.
And we got Minecraft style graphics.
Yeah, it's
I think
really
that's
blocky.
Giving it too much credit.
Okay.
It's like Wolfenstein 3D style graphics. And the people, to be fair, are blocky 3D models, but they are
they're
approximately 4 polygons.
I don't think they're polys. I think they're a flat.
Are they flat?
Thing.
Okay. Whatever. It's the game. The game has a real aesthetic as far as
any single polygon.
Yeah. So so you can talk to people and they give you like minor like it's like a 90s JRPG. Like they say like one thing at you.
It's just like flavor text.
And none of it really matters. They're like, "Oh yeah, you should go over there." And you're like, "Cool, I'm going to actually do that." And then you go into the next screen and there's a bunch of chickens or sheep. And then you talk to the farmer, and he's like, yo, you should go in that cave. And you go in that cave, and suddenly, he gives you a knife, because, like, you're in the cave, you need a knife. And you can pick up a lantern, and then, now, you're in, like, old-school, three-dimensional box world dungeon.
Yeah, it's kind of Doom-y.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Doom, or, the Dungeon of the Beholder for SNES.
Yep.
That's what it made me think of.
Yeah, I was feeling the Genesis game that works exactly like that in my head. Because it's just, like, the same rock texture bending around walls and stuff. Mm-hmm. And eventually you take a couple turns, and you run into a farmer covered in blood on his overalls with a knife, and you ask him questions, and he gives you similar answers to what I wrote down.
So in your playthrough, what happened?
So I ran into Retard Slayer.
Yeah.
And he said some offensive
things. He said some real offensive stuff. He was like, oh yeah, I killed a retard. And I was like, okay, so you're a jerk. And then he said something about using the blood as lube. Mm-hmm. And then something about killing old tards. And I was like, I'm going to kill this guy.
Yeah.
Because fuck him.
It gives you the option at the point. It's like, attack this person or let them pass.
Yeah, so like they answer those three questions and then you get to judge them. And basically you either kill them on an assumption or you let them go.
Yeah.
I killed him because fuck that guy.
Yeah.
I killed him. And then you go to the back of the cave and there's this woman who's bleeding there, and she tells you this whole story about how she came in here to find the money that her husband buried because he left her.
She got, like, mauled by a bear or something.
Yeah, like a bear attacked her.
There's a little bit of a story peppered in before that where you kind of allude to this because you're, like, you're going to look for her in the
right
cave.
Yeah. That's, like, the thing. And so you get there, and then, like, you're never given an option to help her.
Yeah.
Like, she gives you the option to slit her throat.
Yeah, that's right.
Put her out of her pain.
And if you refuse, she spits blood on you.
Yeah, so either, that's right, I said no, and she spit blood on me. I was thinking about it, it's like, you're always covered in blood, so that's how that works. And then when you walk out, you run into a hypothetical person, and you answer the same three questions, and then it tells
this
you...
This time it's not like a prompt of a couple of...
You can just type in whatever you want.
Right, and so that's where you get the... Then it sends you the email after someone runs into you.
It asks you your email address first. It doesn't, like...
it doesn't tell you what's going on.
It doesn't skip your Steam personal info.
No.
So I hope everybody on the podcast played Moirai, and you know, send us in. Tell us what happened to you. Yeah, I'm sure
we can. We can put up a thread on the thing.
Yeah.
For spelling, because it's a weird word. Moirai. Moirai.
Full late.
Whatever.
Nice. They've already played the game now.
Okay. Yeah. Then the good job finding it. And if you are stuck and frustrated, now you're good.
It's a great game though. It's like it takes like 4 minutes
yeah,
to play it.
It's quick.
You'll play the ruin.
It's quick game. And it's a cool, like crowd
unless,
experience.
Unless you're really slow, then it can take more than 4 minutes.
By the way, if you know of games that have similar mechanics to this, like Oxenfree had a mechanic like this.
Yeah.
And then this game has a mechanic like this. If you know of games that have mechanics like this, send an email to us because we'd really like to know about them. Because it's actually Owen's fetish.
Yeah.
So,
it's my exact fetish.
It's his exact fetish. It's
like, I put it on my Fetch Life profile.
You have fetishes, right? And but this is like a number one.
Yeah, and as you know,
Duke of New York. We've been friends for so long. Yeah. Like, how could I not?
Yeah, that time we fooled around with user input experiences. That time in college.
Passive multiplayer experiences.
Yeah.
It's Dark Souls. Oxenfree.
Yeah, like, anyway. So
What did you play?
Is it me?
What did you play?
So I tried out Rec Room. I booted Rec Room back.
Oh, on. Yeah.
The VR multiplayer experience. Still my favorite thing in that whole game is playing disc golf with you,
yeah.
Owen, because it's just the two of us hanging out in VR playing disc golf.
It's the chillest.
It's the chillest.
It's bro out the game.
Yeah. Bro down, Lampin.
Bro down.
However you want to say it. But I tried out the new quests they had, and I liked the medieval quest more than the gun-based quest. I thought that the enemies in the gun-based quest are too accurate, too smart, and have the ability to fuck you up way too quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, it felt the same way as playing paintball versus that guy who knew exactly what he was doing.
Were you laying around a corner and are painting?
So you know what's really fun? Being in a gunfight versus someone who can teleport through walls.
Yeah.
Like
that's super, pretty cool.
Super not fun.
It's really hard to keep situational awareness in both the paintball and the laser tag VR game.
But the medieval one was really fun. I had fun. I jumped in it because I was just going to try it. And there was just some random, like, British lady in there. And she was all, like, super proper. And, you know, I was like, all right, back to back. We're just going to back to back down this hallway. And we just back to back down the hallway. And I ended up, we fucked up because we killed each other with our swords because we're from the fire.
Yeah, sure.
That was a fun experience.
The communal power of VR is really cool, but there's very few things that, like, work with it.
And then I loaded a bunch of games that I thought would work onto your laptop, the one we're using for recording this podcast, and I brought them to my work and showed them to children. So I played Cluster Truck and a few other games with children. That was fun.
Cluster Truck with kids would be cool.
Try out Mood Hunters. We haven't gotten, like, a real good session of it yet, but I'm excited to try it. It's like personality test plus, you know, extra feelings, modern gaming.
Plus Gauntlet.
Plus Gauntlet, right? That sounds cool. And then I tried out this VR experience called Belko VR, and it was really cool. It was like an escape room thing. I had to, like, you know, open vents and find secret codes that I needed to input on the wall, and it was dope. But then it was an ad for a movie, so don't play it.
Actually, you just reminded me of a thing I installed because it's really stupid.
Right.
I think it's like an airline made it, and it is the Space Needle VR, and it's just like tourism advertisement. But I installed it because I live in Seattle,
right?
And like, I can go VR up in the Space Needle. It's like, this is dumb. It's free. Like, I should definitely check this out.
Some Space Swords.
Those are the outliers. Yeah, Space Swords had an event. I'm not gonna talk about it. It was fun.
Just trying to think of what else I've seen you playing.
Yeah. It was fun. They gave us a new scaling weapon, and all the updates they did to Warframe suck, and everyone's really mad about an issue that's been happening for like 3 or 4 years, but I'm going to stop talking about it.
Oh, no way. That community's mad about things.
we're usually pretty happy, except for about this one thing that they won't give us.
Well, yeah. So
now we talk about game.
I've been in a weird feedback loop of gaming.
Oh
lately,
right, yeah, we haven't talked.
Because I haven't talked about what I've played. So if I have friends around who are playing games, I'm playing two games.
Yeah, you're playing like
I'm
PUBG.
Playing the MOBA.
Yeah, the MOBA or PUBG.
Or PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. If there aren't people around and I'm playing games, I'm playing three games. I'm playing the MOBA. I'm playing Battlegrounds. Or if the tension from either of those is too damn high, because both of those games get my blood pressure going in totally different ways. Because ranked play in the MOBA is ranked play in every MOBA. Then I go play Stellaris. Stellaris is my chill out game while I just mainline action otherwise.
Look, so maybe we play Stellaris differently, but I've never understood Stellaris as a chill out game.
It's familiar. Okay. Without being like overwhelming.
I know I'm not asking for an explanation or anything, but just for me that like I'm like, no, like the whole civilization is in my hands. Also, all these other civilizations are incorrect.
Yeah, that's a sentence. Yeah, I've been messing around.
I gotta go subjugate all these bug people so I can colonize all these uninhabitable ice worlds.
That's not relaxing.
These bugs think they're oppressed. No, it's very tense. No, these bug people are not happy about me genetically altering their populations.
Well, they fucked up.
Sure.
Yeah, no. So that game, like, it's rote enough for me at this point. And there's been a bunch of cool new stuff. They put in hive minds. They put in, you can be, if you're super religious zealots and militaristic, you can be what they call the...
Fanatical purifiers.
Fanatical purifiers.
Yep.
Which you're just the Imperium from 40K. You're just cleanse, purge, kill all over the place.
That was the other game, because Owen, you were scrolling through XCOM 2 mods on the workshop the other day, and I was like, why does every game have 40K mods? And I was thinking, like, what was the other game that had 40K yep. mods? It was Stellaris. Stellaris had 18 different 40K
the
mods.
The stupid thing about every game having 40K mods is there's already every game as a 40K game.
Yeah.
Yeah, like every Bethesda game is like, what if you were a space marine in Skyrim?
What if I just play Space Marine?
like ones that add bolt guns to Fallout New Vegas or... Yeah.
Or bolt guns to Skyrim.
Yeah. I mean, this stuff's as old as the hills. Like, in Unreal Tournament, yeah. I remember getting Space Marine skin packs and stuff that people made.
Being really amped about the Space Marine sprites in, you know, Fallout or whatever. Well, like,
people really enjoy, and it's very comforting, the iconic, you know, sort of racism of the 40K universe. Was like, oh yeah, we made all these super soldiers, and they're all clones of the perfect man, who is white, with black hair.
Well,
he accidentally made a black guy.
He made a couple.
And they all really like fire.
Yeah. Yeah, the Blood Angels Primarch, I think he's got some olive skin.
No, he's white as
No, the Primarch, not his chapter masters.
Yeah, I know.
Sanguinus.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't remember him having any gold.
Nah, he's pretty Greek. He's real Greek. Remember that.
Let's stop talking about 40K, because I don't want people sending us corrections.
We don't care.
Please do. I'm so eager to hear about what Games Workshop has been doing to their universe.
Since we abandoned.
Yeah, since they and I have parted ways.
Fucking you shut up.
So, how'd you guys feel about Mr. Shifty?
It's cool.
Yeah?
I think that the game should, like, the game kept doing this thing where I'm like, man, I'm having lots of fun. I feel like I'm really good at this game. Uh-huh. And then the game would be like, hey, you know what's really cool? Puzzles. And I'm like, no. Are you the witness now? Get out of my face with this shit. We're like, hey, you know what would be really cool? Lasers that you can't punch. And I'm like, I don't want to deal with this.
You taught me to punch everything.
Or turrets I can't punch.
Yeah, you taught me to punch things. You taught me how to dodge bullets and punch things.
Yeah, that's
these
what
aren't
I'm
bullets,
for.
Nor are they punch things.
Yeah.
So I found every single part of the game that wasn't punching dudes irritating almost to the point of not being able to continue playing the game in that session, except for if it weren't for, and this is a perfect segue, the horrible checkpoints.
Yeah,
Owen.
Yeah, those checkpoints almost took me to a dark place.
Yeah.
The only reason I end up in that dark place is because I couldn't find it. I got so fed up with a certain level that I started looking on the internet for trainers to just, like, I'm going to make myself invincible up until this point I'm having trouble with, because, like, if you die, it bumps you all the way back to the beginning of a level.
The checkpoint interval in that game is really brutal.
Yeah.
Because almost every time you're struggling with something, you're right there. It's the next room. It's the next. Yeah. And so it's really brutal because, like, there's this obvious...
It's like, really? I have to do this whole room over again?
Right. There's this obvious obvious attempt at that being like a climactic rising action type thing.
Yeah.
But some of them are so ridiculously hard that you end up being in that, like that's, this is the first game in a long time that I've been playing with a controller and I've had to stop myself from spiking it into the ground.
Yeah.
I didn't stop myself.
I only stopped myself because I broke a controller doing that recently.
Also, that game, like, fucking cramps up my hand.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the punching. Because there's a lot of times a lot...
You're hitting it a lot.
Punch, 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 like get through these checkpoint things that drive me crazy. And it turns out that all the, if you search for Mr. Shifty Trainer on Google, you'll get like 6 results, and they're all trainers for the Alpha or for the.
So I actually looked into that after we had a conversation about that, and I found a trainer that works just fine.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, all the ones I came up with on my Google search.
No, there's a +3 trainer going around for the current version. That's I think it was Infinite Shifts, God Mode, and. Infinite slow mo.
Infinite lightning bolt.
Infinite slow mo juice.
That's what I want.
Yeah, I want more infinite lightning.
I want lightning bolt forever.
That's the thing I love about this game is it's so satisfying to perform the actions.
Yes.
Correctly. Oh yeah.
Yes. When the game is good, it is very, very, very good.
Well, I know we say that kind of shit a lot, but let's dive into that more. And it's I really, really like and it was funny too because we watched each other play the game, and we had very different styles. Keenan, you had a very, I'm really struggling not to say idiotic style.
I had a very straightforward, like, Bushido charge the enemy style.
Okay,
like,
yeah, sure.
It didn't work a lot. I'm totally fair.
Whereas I really enjoyed using the enemies against each other. As soon as I found out that enemies could shoot each other, that was, like, all I wanted to do.
And you were executing that quite well, with what I saw. I was impressed. I was like, he just made, like, 7 dudes shoot each other. That's pretty
cool. I would dive into big crowds of machine gun dudes, and they would mow each other down, and then I would dive back in and punch the 2 last of them down. You know?
Yeah, the game gives you a lot of opportunities to excel with, like, the very simple tool set it gives you. Mm-hmm. Like, your dude can punch and then teleport 7 feet directly in front of him.
Yeah.
And, like, you can do some, like, really cool, like, some fucked up shit with
that. A lot of stuff chains really well.
Yeah, like, there's an enemy that I really liked later on in the game where it's just a dude with 2 pistols who can leap backwards.
It's a lady, actually.
But is it? Okay. Yeah. Anyways.
The grenaders, the ninjas, and the duelists are all female.
Okay. Anyway, so, like, these enemies at first, well, actually, they still sort of drive me crazy, but it's so satisfying when you correctly anticipate where they're going to leap back, and you meet them there, or you're there waiting for them, and you just clobber them.
So the duelists are an enemy with 2 pistols, and as soon as they see you, they start firing wildly. Yeah. Unlike every other enemy in the game who's trying to track you, these guys are just, like, filling the air with fusillade. I guess the accountants do this, too.
Yeah. Fucking accountants! We'll get to them!
The accountants are women with auto shotguns who have a very short trigger. and so the duelists, once you punch them once, they enter an invincibility state and dodge in not a random direction, but, like, in a direction.
They tend to dodge away from you, but not always.
It's like a 50-degree fan back, but it has to be, like, away from you.
You dodge into them, you shift into them again, because you're Nightcrawler, right? Yeah. You shift into them again to get a second punch, because most enemies require 2 punches to take down, 2 basic punches, and heavier enemies require 3.
And it's really satisfying when you run up and you pop them once and they bounce and then you're right there again and you go BAM right after that. Like, it's a real good feeling and it's not a super complex input.
And if you guess wrong, you just die.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so when this game's combat is, like, on and it's working and you're doing well, it does a super good empowerment job. Mm. Like, you're like, I just executed that really well and I feel really good. When you're not executing well, once you get it, it feels great, right? Like, I had combats where it's like, this is really hard, and once I get it, I was getting that, like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'm awesome feeling that you don't always get from games unless you struggle a little bit.
Yeah.
But that shifts on you pretty bad after, like, the 10th time of failing at something, too.
I would have enjoyed this game, I think, easily 3 or 4 times as much if there was just a few more ways to sort of there was a few more dials, a few more knobs at my control. Like mm-hmm. that was one of the things I really enjoyed about Hotline Miami.
Right.
Is that, you know, by picking your mask, you're picking this is the area this character excels
right.
in. Right.
So and like, the weapons.
If I'm getting shot more than I should, guess what? I'm gonna put on, you know, what I think it was like the manatee mask or whatever. I don't remember.
Right.
But there was, you know, there's masks that let you get shot a couple times. There was a level that I remember Owen had a ton of trouble with, and I don't even remember that level because I used a different mask than him
right
on the level. I just like if there was a few more knobs like that where, so there's like there's these times where I don't feel like I necessarily fucked up
right.
in a certain way, like the enemies were just fast enough to feel good, but in a certain sense if you're getting into these larger rooms they're almost firing at you from off the screen
right
and
oh,
so
that's hard to deal
and,
with
and so it's really hard to keep total situational awareness in these situations where they're just sitting waves of dudes at you. Like, I'm serious, like, one room you're killing, like, 100
Yeah, guys. And that happens.
Right. And so I wish there was just a few more ways where you could either go one of two directions with it. You could go the direction where I've got one or two more safety nets.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could be like, no, I'm king shit. I don't care if I get hit by bullets. You know, I'm never going to get hit by, I'm just not going to get hit by bullets. Or you could do, you know, like a Fable style, like, bet before the match. You remember in Fable 2, you could be
that was in Fable 1 as well, wasn't
yeah,
it?
But yeah. There, it was better in Fable 2. There was, the systems where you could be like,
system was better.
Where you could be like, I'm never going to get hit on this mission, and here's how much prestige I'm willing to bet on that.
Right.
And then you get more prestige back if you actually end up it correctly.
Yeah. Like the
that's always a system. I want that system in goddamn. I want that in Warframe. Like, honestly.
I want that system in everything, so I can flex when I want to and I don't have to when I don't want to. Yeah. The thing I really like about this game is, we all know the lobby scene from The Matrix, where they walk in and the lobby's immaculate and everything's fine. Like this
game, the walls and shit get blown up.
This game builds that like, you do that whole sequence minus the shooting people, right? Like, you never shoot people, you never pick up their guns. So you're doing this whole thing where you're running around and punching dudes in their head and, like, throwing lightning bolts off of statues at people. And, like, every once in a while you get that, like, circular shield that Captain America's its way through some dudes. And, like, you get this really good feeling wrecking all these dudes. And then you walk into the room and it's a whole room, and you leave the room when you're done, and it's just fucked beyond belief.
Yeah, it's just crumbling drywall.
Yeah, it's like that whole thing, like that last shot in the lobby scene where it's all fucked up.
And I love that the game has a really good way of recreating that feeling.
Because
when you look at a room, when you're done with it, you're like, I remember what happened.
Right, you can you can follow the train of what you did. So those things all work really well, but then there's points where, like we were talking about it, Matt, that game does the thing where it does the artificial difficulty, where it's like, hey, you're used to all of these things, and now you fail immediately because this new thing just was sprung on you instead of us warning you or anything like that.
Or teaching you what this is.
Right.
Yeah. So it teaches you the same way Inside and Limbo did, where it teaches you by killing you. You have to die to at least once to learn the thing about the room.
And then the frustrating thing is the game, after every level, voices back to you how many times you died.
Yeah.
And so there's this implication that, like, you should be able to do this without dying, when you have to know the whole game to be able to do that. Because you have to know that missile launcher is coming.
It's a really interesting fun fact. For the majority of the game, I died 13 times on every level.
That's the magic number.
Yeah. I think it was, you know, right when the game started sending, like, missile launcher guys at me and flamethrower guys at me.
Oh, yeah.
That was right when I started dying a ton.
Yeah, that's kind of the tilt. That's also where I started enjoying the game a lot less, just on the whole. Like,
explosives.
Even puzzles aside, like, the game just felt like a lot more of a slog at that point.
So the game throws in a bunch of interesting things. There's points where you can't teleport.
There's some nice monkey wrenches.
There's a lot of good stacking of mechanics based on the enemy types. But the other thing I really liked about this game is it has really good style. Like, it's got a lot of good flavor to it. In this weird, tongue-in-cheek, like, doesn't even give a shit about taking itself seriously
way. I think how much a person is going to enjoy the style of this game is how much they currently enjoy tight superhero comic books.
Yes!
Right?
It's very, like, 90s X-Men, like, all the way through. Yeah. Like,
because I think I've had conversations with Owen where he's like, if this game throws one more fake ending at me, I'm fucking done.
Yeah.
I really like...
The game fakes you out to the point where it's like, you literally get to the... the whole game takes place in a skyscraper. You fight your way all the way to the lobby, and you can see cars outside.
Mm-hmm.
And the game, like, fakes you out, and you now have to fight your way, like, all the way up again. To the tower. Yeah. And it's just like, man, like, fuck you.
So, but I really like the humor level in this game. Like, it's just self-aware enough to be fun. Like, it has one of my favorite objective prompts that I've ever seen, which is survive accounting.
Yeah.
Like, it's this really great foreshadowing for how fucked up the accounting department is, because the lady who's your handler is like, oh no, you have to go through accounting. You're like, well, apparently that's bad. And then the objective prompt comes up, and it doesn't say get through accounting. It doesn't say, like...
Well, and that's funny, because, like up to that point, a lot of the time, you have to defeat all the enemies in a room before you can move on.
Right.
And then that particular floor, you don't.
You don't. You can skip through. And the reason you can skip through is, we talked about the accountants earlier. Yeah. They're women in orange suits with auto shotguns who are terribly murderous. So
most of the enemies in the game need to see you before shooting?
They'll, like, aim with a laser pointer indicator. Yeah. Accounting people do not.
No, the accountants only need to hear you in order to start shooting.
And they shoot through walls, because the second shot blows a wall apart.
They'll just demolish whatever level they're
on. Yeah, and I like it because it sets an expectation without saying much, and then you realize, like, it's literal. Like, no, survive accounting. Like,
I found the writing style in this game, for the most part, kind of missed me.
Okay.
Like, there's only a couple times where Chairman Stone is the bad guy. Yeah. There's only a couple things he said that I ever thought were funny.
It's kind of goofy.
I thought nothing that the operator said to me was ever.
I didn't like the operator. I liked pretty much everything Stone said.
I liked...
Where he's like, you punched through the wall?
He even comments at one point that he doesn't have any room for in his organization, or he'd hire you for someone who teleports and punches things. Like, there's enough where they're like, we know this is the one thing we're doing in this game.
Yeah, except also, like, the only plot point in the game is that he wants to steal your powers so we can use them.
Yeah. Did you finish it?
I did.
Okay. I really hated the last level.
No chicken hat.
So we didn't, I don't think we explained that very thoroughly, like, how that's gonna work.
Okay, I feel like we did, but go on.
Okay, so we just brought up, like, having a chicken hat.
Was last week the first week we did that?
Yes.
Okay, then we didn't. Okay, yeah, never mind.
We totally didn't.
All right.
Like, in retrospect, after we recorded, I was like, wow, we did it. We
talked about that for a while.
We were so hyped that we didn't explain shit.
So, well, I think the only thing we didn't explain is what actually happens.
Yeah.
Which I'm not clear on.
Oh,
turns out. So this is a good opportunity.
All right. Well, so what I wanted to, I guess, landed on was that whomsoever is the winner of the chicken hat tournament at the end of this season, which is going to end soon.
Yeah. Maybe this will be a season 2 thing.
Well, no, because we calculated scores.
It's ongoing.
Okay, yeah.
Like, currently it's Keenan.
Yeah.
Okay,
all right. I did not finish quite a few games.
So
so you're telling me I should pick a long game this week? You fuck up Keenan.
I picked a short game. I'll admit, I picked a short game on purpose. Yeah,
it was nice, but, no, it was whomsoever loses has to do something horrible that we're going to record as an extra.
Whoever has received the most Todd Howard Awards of Excellence.
Yeah, whoever has received the most Todd Howard Awards of Excellence. And my joke was that if it's one of you two, I'll make you just play B-Cop again. and if it's me, you're going to make me play like a rainbow modded version of a Bethesda game. Probably Oblivion?
I don't know. Like, we might pull something else.
Yeah, out. I think if it's you, we'll deliberate. Yeah.
But so anyway, it's a horrible thing, and we're going to record it, and we'll probably throw it up on YouTube and link it in the Bad Place Down.
Yeah.
Chat.
I wanted to bring back our Not Real Game Awards for games, because we haven't done that in a while.
Not Real Game Award, how does that work?
Where we make up a dumb award that we're giving this game.
Okay, do we want to give this game
And award? I want to give this game the Knotline Miami Award.
Knotline Miami?
Because it's not quite Hotline Miami.
Okay.
That's a bad joke, but you should feel bad.
No, it's fine. It made me feel the same way Hotline Miami did when I succeeded, and I appreciate that, because that's the only place I got that in a game.
Sure.
I also really enjoyed that I picked an execution game that didn't fall flat with our group.
Yeah.
I was worried about that.
Yeah, that was a bit of a risk.
I picked it, and I was like, I don't want this to just be not fun because none of us can play it. But we all got through it, so it's good.
Okay.
Yeah, because I know I like those games, and that you guys don't necessarily like those games much, and I don't want to do that.
All of us had played Hotline Miami.
Yeah, no, and I just don't want to purposefully pick something I think you guys are going to hate, so I'm glad that this one worked, is what I'm saying. Like,
all right, cool.
Yeah.
What else we got to cover?
So, is anybody excited for anything happening currently in video games?
I was wrong about Prey coming out that day. It came out last Friday. I'm still interested and excited about Prey.
Okay. That game looks cool.
I haven't played it yet.
I want Hitman Season 2 to come out, and that's sort of up in the air.
Yeah, that might not happen.
Yep.
That makes me sad.
We'll see. The news will come out in the coming weeks, I'm sure.
Do we want to talk about the thing we talked about actually doing bad playstyle things?
So...
We don't have to talk about it right now. Yeah, I know we're working on it.
We should explain.
Like, the news to me.
Yeah, so... You know, the name of the podcast is Bad Playstyle, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was going to bring it to the group of what if I don't say beat this game? What if I say beat this game this way? Okay. Like, is that an acceptable thing to do? Or is that, you know, because that's like, you know, no wrong way to play, right? Like,
yeah.
That's not the bad playstyle thing I was thinking of, but okay. That's good.
I like that, but, like, maybe if it's a game that's familiar to us already, too.
Sure. I mean, like, that was just an idea. What the fuck are you
The one about? I was thinking of was where we try and play something wrong together.
What do you mean by wrong?
Like, we were talking about playing, like...
Are you talking about the thing I was talking about where I was going to map all the controller buttons onto two controllers?
Yes,
instead of
like
one?
Something along those lines, where we play something completely unintended way.
Yeah, I do want to, at some point, and I think this would be a great thing to do at the end of the season, is have us play a GTA game, or a GTA clone, it could be Saints Row, it doesn't matter, where one person is controlling the movement of the character, and the other person is controlling the weapons. Mm-hmm. and the goal of the person on weapons is to kill you, the player. And the goal of the person on the movement is to get from point A to point B without dying.
Okay.
I wanted to try that at some point. I don't even know if we did that for the show.
I like abusing this functionality that we now have.
Right, because Xbox does that, and we have X-Patter, so...
Like, yeah, you know. So like that kind of thing where we play games as they're not intended to be played sounds like a really fun thing to do as a group. Yeah. I don't know what else there would be, but I'm sure we can come up with more now that we've talked about it.
This sounds like stuff we can brainstorm on.
Sure. Anyway, let's move on. So we're excited about Hitman's Season 2, which may or may not happen. Owen, do you have VR things to say? I was excited about a VR thing, but I totally forgot what it was. I just remember being excited about it.
The TP cast is coming out soon.
Yes.
I'm excited about
that's
that.
That's cool. No, I was excited about Payday VR.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, right, that's like built for you guys.
I really want to try that. Like... Well, because...
Some of our most least favorite developers, Overkill...
Oh, we have such a tortured relationship with these
We love what they do, but we hate how they do it.
The shooting's so good. They're so they've been talking some talk for a while about making VR titles, and they made a John Wick VR game, which I've heard is very good, but not worth its price tag. It's like literally a 10-minute game, and it's $20.
That's going to be a constant VR struggle for a while.
That's been my struggle with VR. Is I'm not ever willing to shell out the amount of money they're asking for, which is always a lot
for incredibly short games. Yeah. So anyway, they're pushing out a beta for Payday 2, their big flagship $199 DLC game, to allow VR players. Players in VR headsets to play the game with everyone else, with the rest of the player pool.
And now that just sounds like,
yeah,
this VR dude over here ruining it.
Yeah, so we're definitely gonna be getting into that. We're definitely gonna
got this fucking guy Lady Gaga dancing in the corner. While we're trying to
yeah.
All he says is ma 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 ma
ma ma ma ma.
I think it's like Yeah.
And I was saying to Owen, unless you give the VR players some sort of significant in-game advantage, like, they're just going to be dead all the time.
Yeah, no, like, I've been thinking about that, like, we're going to have to bump it down, like, because that game has, like, 7 difficulties you can play on now. So, like,
7 levels of punishment.
Yeah, well, what is it? They added, like, 1 or 2 new ones, didn't they?
They added 3.
3, yeah, great. Anyway.
Because we needed to be more confused.
Well, whatever, they have, like, just this rabidly dedicated fan base who just needs that new drug.
Yeah.
So, anyway, like, yeah, we're going to have to go in and play it at way below the difficulty that we are accustomed to playing on keyboard and mouse.
Right, and the keyboard and mouse players will be bored as fuck.
Yeah.
And the VR guys will be like, I'm barely handling it!
Well, whatever, like, the VR guy is going to be the one hosting the lobby.
Yeah.
So if they want to kick and scream, I'll kick their
ass. No, like, I get you, but, like, it's one of those things that's going to be weird unless they balance it right.
Yeah, so that thing looks cool.
It's going to be real sweaty.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Well, one of the reasons I bought a VR is because I'm fat. So
you've been on the bike, I heard you.
Yeah.
You've been doing it.
Yep.
But yeah, looking forward to that. And then the TP cast, which we didn't actually say what it is. It's an accessory.
It's a magic box.
Yeah.
Made of crystals.
Yeah.
From China. And it allows...
That got better as you went.
it allows your face box to do things that it absolutely should not be able to do. So it just puts out incredible bandwidth of wireless signal.
Like, yeah, it's a wireless HDMI signal.
Yeah.
So it's a little thing you strap onto the back of your Vive and you plug it in, and now you're not tethered to your computer anymore.
Yeah. It's wonderful. They had, like, the Consumer Reports had a dude, like, doing backflips in it. And shit.
Yeah.
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 It was wonderful.
And it worked?
Yeah.
Yeah, they strapped it in tight.
They had, like...
It was a Cirque du Soleil acrobat.
Yeah.
And he did, like, a...
Yeah, because you want a dude who's not going to fuck up a backflip with extra hardware on his head.
They put him in a sword fighting game and made him do backflips, and it was fine.
That's fucking sick.
There was, like, no losses.
We're, like, halfway to G Gundam.
Yeah.
Like, that's my shit.
This is a man who professionally backflips blindfolded.
Minus the racism in G Gundam.
Anyone have any idea what it says response audio in the Doom agenda?
Response audio.
Response audio.
No, I don't know.
Okay, no, it's fine.
I don't have a dumbest wrestling moment because I haven't been keeping up with wrestling. Sorry, guys.
It's fine, don't worry about it. I don't like wrestling.
I know.
So
I was apologizing to Corey and Trevor, okay?
Apologize to me.
No.
So that Matt can tell you he doesn't care.
What are we playing, Owen?
Oh, yeah. Next week we are going to play a surreal walking simulator called Californium.
All right.
And play a game named after an element?
Yep.
Okay.
I think it's based on the writings of Philip K. Dick a little bit.
Am I going to get my paycheck?
I don't know, man.
Am I going to go to Mars?
No.
Am I...
You're going to hang out in, like, Berkeley.
Yeah, it's set in California.
Is it a murder game show?
No.
What are you doing?
Those are all Philip K. Dick stories. Those are movies.
All right, Archer.
Paycheck.
Whatever.
Total Recall and...
Stop talking. Yeah, and if you want to reach us, you can send us an email.
I didn't even say it.
Yeah, but I'm saying it. badplacedial@gmail.com.
Or we're on Reddit at r/badplacedial.
Yeah.
Which still has one post in it. Yeah. I was tempted to change that the other day. Yeah. But then I didn't have any good posts. So, right. And you're not even a moderator yet.
I don't want to moderate that.
Get in there.
I don't want to moderate the fallowness.
Get in there.
Yeah.
Don't do sex moves.
Whoa, Keenan.
It's good radio. What can I say?
Kenan, sex moves is good radio?
Sex moves is good
Kenan,
radio.
Put your shirt back down. Stop taking off your shirt.
Hey, that's the name of the podcast this week.
theme music is made by my good friend Benjamin Busey. You can find his SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/basicbenji206.